Congressman Anthony Brindisi from New York's beautiful 22nd district, I wanted to ask you something. You did not back Speaker Pelosi, who is now publicly sparring with four young progressive members of the caucus, including AOC. How united is the Democratic conference right now?
Well, I would say, given some of the president's recent comments, the caucus is pretty united, and I would say also that a lot of the fighting that you may hear about tends to get blown up more in the national media than it really is. I think the speaker was correct in stating her opinions that members should not be attacking one another on social media. If we have problems, we should be dealing with it internally and discussing it with one another. It's not appropriate to take to social media or to have your staff members take to social media to start attacking one member of the caucus or another, because I think at the end of the day, we all have the very best intentions. We want what's best for our districts and for our country, and we may have different ways about going about achieving some of those results, but we all feel that, for example, health care is a vital issue, and we want everyone to have health care and health insurance in this country. There may be differences of how we get to that, or climate change. We may all have differences over what some of the solutions are, but we all believe it's real and happening, and we have to act urgently to try and prevent climate change from worsening. So sometimes these divides get blown up a lot more, but there are some divides, and we have to work through that, and I think the speaker is trying to do that right now.
Well, AOC, as we call her now, has been quite open about being, you know, basically somebody who is a socialist, mm-hmm. a democratic socialist. Now, in some districts, that ain't going to play too good, as we say. you know, there's always the risk. You've won the House. Now you could lose it based on something like that, by people saying, hey, I ain't no socialist.
Yeah, you're right. And look, this is not a socialist country. I'm a democratic capitalist. I think the speaker has pushed back on some of the rhetoric that has come from some of the newer members in the conference. And, you know, I think the speaker understands what, to be very honest, many of our presidential candidates do not understand, and that is that this is not a far-left socialist country. It's not a far-right country either. It's, you know, the majority of people are somewhere in the middle and are just hoping and desiring their elected officials work together in this country, and that's what we have to try and look for, is policies that a majority of this country can get behind and support. So she's been trying to do that, and, you know, members are going to take to social media to say whatever they have to say, and I don't know if we can ever stop that from happening, and nor should we want to, but in the meantime, we have to focus on policies that actually can get passed in a bipartisan fashion and get signed into law so we can solve these big issues like immigration or whatever else has been plaguing or holding us back for the last couple decades.
But do you think it is, if this kind of divisiveness, you know, somebody calling themselves a democratic socialist, backing candidates who will knock off regular Democrats, do you think that's the kind of thing that could lead potentially to the loss of the House of Representatives of the Democrats the next time out?
100%. If you look at why the Democrats took the majority in the House of Representatives, they took the majority not by Democrats unseating other Democrats in primaries. We took the majority because we elected representatives from swing districts like New York 22 across the country. So of the 60-something new Democrats in the House, the lion's share of that group came from moderate districts. And if we're going to govern as a party, we have to represent and put forward policies that are important to people in those communities, you know, healthcare, immigration, Social Security, Medicare. These are the things that people talked about in this country, and that's what we have to put forward as policies if we're going to maintain a governing majority.
So as a political scientist, I can tell you, you're right. That's exactly who won the House of Representatives. So do you have a, you know, pass her in the hall and say to AOC, for example, I wish you wouldn't be doing that?
I can't say we've had that kind of a conversation. We've had good conversations in the past. And you know, one thing that I always learned being a former state legislator, and that's one thing we have to realize, is a lot of the new members who are here, they've never come from a legislative background. So this is really their first experience ever governing. And when you have some experience in a legislature or perhaps in some kind of an executive position, you realize that you have to work together with others, and you have to listen to the needs of not just your community, but you have to listen to members from other communities and try and figure out common ground. And sometimes if you don't have that background, you just don't do that. So it's a learning process for everybody here, and hopefully we can maybe tone down the rhetoric a little bit, especially on social media, and just listen a little bit more to our colleagues.
Okay, so the future of the ACA and other ideas raised by presidential candidates is to expand health care. What do you want to do?
Well, what I want to do is I want to fix the ACA. I am not supportive of Medicare for All. I believe that everyone in this country should have health insurance, but adding $32 trillion to the debt and taking away private health insurance from nearly 180 million Americans, many of those households, union households that negotiated their health care through their contracts, I don't want to see them lose their private health insurance if they want to have their health insurance through private carriers. So there are ways, and we have passed legislation in the House, things like passing bills protecting pre-existing conditions, looking at reinsurance and other programs to make the ACA more affordable. I have legislation that would help bring down premiums. Let's look at what's driving premiums up right now. One of those areas that's ripe for us to take on is prescription drug costs. You know, when I was in the district a couple months ago, I held a couple roundtables on prescription drug costs, and I was talking to one woman down in Binghamton who was telling me how her cancer medication costs $30,000 every Wow. 3 months, and how her husband, through his private health insurance, is able to pay for that, but they're concerned. Others don't have that insurance to pay for, and how can we help lower those costs? Well, let's look at something that I'm working on, which would make it easier for generic drugs to come to market to compete with some of the big pharma name brand drugs. You know, these big drug manufacturers do everything in their power to delay and try and stall FDA approval of generic drugs so they can have the monopoly over whatever brand name it is, and it just drives up costs. So you've had drugs that are on the market for years, like EpiPen and others, that you have one company that makes them, and they can charge whatever they want. So we got to have more competition among drug companies. That will help lower some costs. And we got to do what many other countries do, is we should be able to negotiate, let Medicare negotiate with these drug companies, which will help get a better price and lower everyone's drug costs.
Ridiculous that we can't do that. So let me ask you a final question here. It's a political question. I know you don't love them, but I'm going to ask anyway. You got
I don't mind.
It's a purple district. We know that. Yep. And it's a competitive district. We see Claudia Tenney mulling over running against you another time. And then Broome County DA Steve Cornwell wants to run. Which of those would you rather have run against you? You're not going to answer
I've learned pretty quickly in politics there's things I can control and there's things way beyond my control. And who I get to choose running against me is against my powers. So we have to be prepared for whatever person is ultimately successful in a Republican primary. But I really believe if we do the job as we campaigned we were going to do, and if we fulfill the commitments that we made on the campaign and are responsive to constituents and representing everyone in this district, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, then people will reelect me in 2020. And I can only focus on what I can control, and that's being a good representative for this region, which I'm going to continue to do until I stand before the voters again next year.
Always great to have Representative Anthony Brindisi, a first-term Democrat from New York's 22nd Congressional District, with us. Anthony, we so appreciate your giving us this valuable time.
Anytime. Thank you, Alan. It's great talking to you.